Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 1:38. Thank you for joining in. I do apologize to you. So many, and I do mean so many texts came in, and I just couldn't get to all of them. I tried to answer some or ask some general questions that would account for what you tried to ask and kind of put those questions together. Hopefully he will come on again. For whatever reason, Dr. Fauci likes me. So maybe we will. He thinks I know what I'm doing, know what I'm talking about. How easily I fool them.
Should make house calls. That's right.
I'm not a doctor. He's not a doctor either, but he's a former alderman. Dick Simpson is here. The name of the book, Democracy's Rebirth, The View from Chicago. And in fact, the foreword was written by this woman, Mayor Lori Lightfoot. I've heard of her before. And I will tell you, I don't know whether to call you Dick or Alderman Simpson.
Everybody calls me Dick. No one calls me Alderman anymore.
Well, they could, I guess.
They can, technically. Yeah. Yes.
Technically. So not so technically, Dick. I ask you this question. You supported her early on. I'm talking about Lori Lightfoot as mayor. You were right in her corner. I think you were on the transition team for the mayor.
I was.
And yeah, and she wrote the foreword to your book. Well, what do you think? Did she do a good job? Did she not do a good job? It was a tough time to be mayor, for sure, but still.
Well, there are different parts of the last several years in Chicago. In terms of ethics and government, she's been outstanding. She's been had done more for ethics and good government than anyone since Harold Washington. In terms,
and you write a lot about that. You write how Harold Washington became mayor. I mean, how that happened politically, which was fascinating for those of us that are, I kind of remember but don't. And this helped remind me about, what was it called, the Rainbow Coalition?
He called it the Rainbow Coalition, which is what actually Jesse Jackson had called his presidential campaign.
Mm. But now you had Lori Lightfoot, African-American lesbian, as you point out in the book, and Tony Preckwinkle, also African-American, running for mayor. Lori Lightfoot had little problem beating her. Did people get what they expected?
Well, they did in the ethics and good government. In the progressive policies, those have been delayed because of the terrible problems in between.
You're talking about the pandemic?
The pandemic and the economic recession. It was a double whammy. And so it made – there wasn't enough money. There wasn't enough possibility of getting together to do things. But she made great strides. I would just point to her one program, Invest Southwest, which has now put more than $1 billion into the 10 poorest neighborhoods in Chicago. And that's a very significant step. Again, if we go back to Harold Washington, this is the first time since Harold Washington that the neighborhoods have been on an equal footing in economic development and housing and so forth that the downtown has. And that's important that we develop all of Chicago. But she hasn't done as much as some people, many people, would like in the progressive period. This will be an important year because we have the federal bucks for the first time, and we have more city money because the economy's come back. So this should be a year, a breakthrough year, of a lot of social progressive projects, and I think, you know, she'll be judged at the end of that year.
Do we still have a machine? You write a lot about that. You use terminology that maybe only Chicagoans would know. You write about the jokes that you can vote, even if you're deceased. I mean, you write about all that. Does all of that still exist in this city?
So there was the old machine under Richard J. Daley. He perfected it from Cermak and the others in the 30s during his administration. But when Richard M. Daley came in, he created a new machine. And the big difference was twofold under Richard M. Daley. First of all, he no longer gave the patronage jobs through the ward committeemen in the old party. He created his own patronage army with groups like Hispanic Democratic Organization. And the second was that he tapped into the global economy. So that, say, if you go back to Richard J. Daley, he never spent anywhere near $1 million on the campaigns. Richard M. Daley spent regularly $7 million. Rahm Emanuel spent $32 million. So the money from the global economy has made it a much more professional consultant, direct mail, television and radio ads, than in the old days where the precinct captain was king.
Mm-hmm. But that's like other cities.
That's like other cities. We still have the remnants of the machine. You know, if you go to the area of corruption, which I cover in the book,
yes,
There have been 20 now, if we update even since the book was written, there have been more than 2,200 public officials go to federal prison for corruption. Each tried and convicted in court. This isn't a newspaper expose or someone whispering, I think Joe Smith is corrupt. This is actual proof, and they've actually paid a significant price. Probably 10 times that many have been involved in the same corruption schemes and didn't get caught. 37 aldermen have gone to federal prison, 4 governors out of the last 10, and I could go on down the list. The corruption level is a spinoff of machine politics, because when you have patronage jobs, favoritism, crooked contracts, corruption always comes in.
Well, you write about racism in the book in great detail and Black Lives Matters, and you write with all candor about what happened during the pandemic as far as, I have to say, riots, not civil unrest. You write about that as well. We'll talk about that when we come back. And also, who is going to run for mayor? Well, one of the possibilities may be Mike Quigley, congressman, who we will talk to, as it happens, at about 5 minutes after 2. You've known him for a long time. I will ask you whether you think he is going to run as well. He's not going to run anywhere. Dick Simpson will be back next. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN, 11 minutes before 2 o'clock. After 2 o'clock, he may run for mayor. I don't know. Congressman Mike Quigley will be here. He is on a special committee for the Ukraine as well, a nonpartisan committee, and we'll talk about that. He just came back from the region, actually. So we'll discuss that. The list of mayoral candidates I want to ask Dick Simpson about. Former alderman, professor now. Okay, you said, don't call me alderman. People haven't called me that in 120 years. Well, that's not exactly what you said.
That's about how old I am.
No. But you're now professor? Would that be right?
I was professor before I was alderman.
So you're still professor.
It's been 55 years at the University of Illinois in Chicago that I've been teaching.
Wow. That's where I graduated, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, we did a good job.
An adequate job, clearly. I got by okay, actually. So, name of the book, Democracy's Rebirth, The View from Chicago. All right, here we go. Paul Vallis, he said, former Chicago, he was the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, right?
Right.
And he ran for mayor in 2019 on this very radio show, couple of months ago, approximately, he said, he didn't say, I'm running for mayor, but he came really close to saying that.
Well, he's run for mayor before. He's run for governor. The unfortunate thing is Paul has great ideas. He's written a number of op-eds recently paving the way, and he and Lori Lightfoot had the best set of platforms in the last election in terms of white papers and those kinds of things.
No one can question his intelligence.
No, but he doesn't have a very good track record of putting together political campaigns. So even if he runs, I don't see him as a close contender.
Hmm. How about 15th Ward Alderman Ray Lopez, who said, what was it, a week ago or so, I'm running for mayor?
Yeah, some people have speculated he's worried about the new redistricting, making it hard for him to get reelected, but it doesn't matter. He is has a legitimate voice in Chicago politics, not very well known. Your average listener won't know who he is. He is the far opposition bloc in the city council to the mayor, but I don't see him having a base. Yes, he'll get some Latino votes. There are different pockets of votes, but he has a pretty small base. Let me just explain to the listeners. To run for mayor, you've got to be able to raise at least $5 million. You've got to be able to have a political army of some sort. So either volunteers or they're people who work in government jobs or the political party. Somebody has to be willing to get your petition signatures, go door to door and reach the voter and get them to vote for you. And I just don't see Lopez having that kind of operation. Now, Chuy Garcia does, but Chuy just got into Congress and is perfectly happy there as far as I can tell.
So he's not running. But Willie Wilson said yet again that, here's your free gas. And by the way, I'm running for mayor.
Yeah, a third time he thinks maybe a charm. But, if he's run several times, so we have a track record, he's never gotten more than 10% of the vote. So in a sense, if you were Mayor Lightfoot looking at this field, you would say, oh, whoopee, there'll be 10 candidates. They'll all get a few percent of the vote, and I'm better known than they are, given the ones you've mentioned. Well, Paul Vallis is well known, but he doesn't have any political base.
All right, well, there are more.
It might be the whole program. I'm sure there are people out there who are listening to you who want to run for mayor.
There's John Cantazaro, the president of the Chicago Police Union, who has not gotten along very well with Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, and he would pick up a conservative right-wing vote.
He's not a Republican, but he could be.
He's a sort of Trump supporter.
Yeah.
So he has the police union. Even though he's gotten a challenge, they won't extend his contract. They won't extend his office like he wanted. So there's a split in the police union even in support of him. If you can't get a unified vote out of your own group, that makes it a pretty weak base for which to run for mayor.
All right, but we're not done yet. Stacey Davis Gates, vice president of the Chicago Teachers Union.
She said she's not running. I take her at her word.
Okay. Jamal Green, an activist who ran in 2019.
Yes.
He may do it again.
Somewhat like Willie Wilson, a very different person, and he's done a lot for the community and is a good progressive activist. But his vote last time sort of tells the story. You know, when you're running the second, third, fifth time, you have a track record. And so will people back someone who's lost before? And only if they've got some new base, some new question. You know, if we were still in the pandemic or something in the mainstay, there might be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I don't see Jamal Green as admirable as some of the things he does. Being able to mount a mayoral campaign. Remember, you got to reach, nearly a million voters wandering around loose here in the city. So that's both expensive in money, and it's expensive in work, and it takes a professional organization that is good campaign manager, good media people, all those things. So it's not just you wake up one morning and decide, oh, I'm going to run for mayor and be able to do it successfully.
1 minute left here, and that's about it. And you cover racism in great detail, so we don't have time for that. Are we moving in the right direction in Chicago?
I think we're on the rebound. The pandemic really hit us hard. A lot of people died. A lot of people were in hospital. We were locked down. All the businesses were shut. You know, restaurants weren't open. Finally, they were, doing food deliveries and so forth. The economy took a big hit. That was really a tough time, and we came through it. And I'm grateful to all the public officials, the state government and the city government, for making it possible for us to get through. I think they all did an admirable job. And fortunately, we're on the other side. We're not free from it, but we're on the other side. So we have the pandemic winding down. We have the economy winding up. The economic improvement in the city is better than almost any other city in the country. And that's significant because that means we have resources, not just the federal money, which is coming in truckloads and boatloads here. We're going to be fixing, we're going to extend the L line all the way out from 95th Street. I don't remember 150th Street or wherever mm-hmm. it's going to end. That's a whole fifth of the city that's never had access to adequate public transportation that are going to get it. Now, it won't be done next year, but the ribbon cutting will be.
Okay, well, that's a start anyway. Much more in the book, Democracy's Rebirth, The View from Chicago. Dick Simpson, it says here, I didn't say your name clearly. Dick Simpson, that is the author of the book, and I have enjoyed talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed talking to me far more than you'd ever enjoy talking to Paul Lisnick.
Well, he did say that, as a younger colleague, he'd have some good questions for me on the podcast next
week. Okay, yeah. Hopefully I did have some good questions. Thank you,
You did.
Sir. Bye-bye.